It was an error by omission on my part to not talk about Vince McMahon's mustache on Stunt Granny Audio 840. Jeremy, you and I get to talk about this mustache for, I mean, roughly the whole podcast. I think you could do an hour and a half on it.
Oh, I mean, it goes back. Like, there's so much banging around in my head that, like, just when the centers around him, obviously, I made my opinion quite strong, quite clear how strongly I believe Vince McMahon is just over. But he disappeared for how long? Like, he retired, right? Or whatever they were talking about.
Yeah.
He resigned. He really retired.
Step down there.
Yeah, and it disappeared. And I think the only time that people saw a picture of him, he looked like normal old Vince. And then nothing. Then all of a sudden, he just comes back, says, I'm taking over again, blah, blah, blah. Fires everyone he doesn't like. Anyone who's doing an investigation on him, he fired them. That's pretty cool. Then he's going to help sell stuff, or sell the WWE.
Oh, yep.
And then there's rumors that he had a mustache. And you're like, okay. And then the Hall of Fame pictures came out in it. It was not as bad as expected. I was like, oh, he looks kind of goofy. That's kind of weird, right?
Uh-huh.
In between, I don't know where that BBB thing came from, but between the Hall of Fame, which was the same day, I believe, as they recorded the interview with him and I just read it. What's his name? Oh, God damn it.
They recorded that before Monday?
Manuel. Yeah, they actually recorded that on Saturday, supposedly.
Okay. Not aware of that.
Saturday or Sunday or something like that. It was recorded ahead of time because they signed the paperwork Saturday night sometime.
Okay.
So, at least, of course, it's wrestling, so it's all rumors. But I guess it has to come out. Since they're both publicly traded companies.
I would imagine the official news will be out at some juncture.
But sometime in between... the Hall of Fame was Friday. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was trying to get a timeline. I'm like...
I'm sorry. I'm so used to the Hall of Fame still being Saturday. That even though it hasn't been in a long time. But... just...
But yeah, because I guess I did not see the pictures of him at the Hall of Fame. So I mean, did he just have a regular full mustache?
It was a pencil one, but he looked okay. And no.
Okay.
Okay, is relative to the goddamn disaster that he looked like during this interview. And for a man, and this is, I think this is my biggest problem. For a man who is supposedly so into aesthetics, who is so into, like, you know, you make all your money from the shoulders up, all this stuff, right? He has the audacity to look at himself and go, looks good, pal. And yet he's been judging people for 40 years? No one should take his advice seriously ever again. This is also the same guy that said Mickey James was fat, by the way. So, or maybe it was Kevin Dunn, but he also was like, probably. I mean,
yeah, they're kind of one and the same sometimes.
That's reprehensible that you make judgment calls on people's looks when you're a fucking nightmare now.
And the other thing that kills me about the whole thing, I'm like, dude, could you put any more dye in that? Everything.
Kevin, that's a perfectly natural shade of black. Or bowling ball black. Or chimney black. Or whatever. It's so embarrassing.
He's a chimney sweep. That's why that's what he was doing in his off time. He was a fucking chimney sweep.
Yeah, busy burning documents or whatever. But
for his buddy Donald.
That's got to make him a tad, like, if I mean, it's not hush money, but if there's contributions that aren't being tallied. But apparently that case against Trump is so paper thin anyways, it's not going to hold. So it's like, whatever. But the whole Vince thing, like, I don't understand how, like, I guess Dana White looks like Dana White is a bald white dude that's like sort of older and sort of muscular, right? But
yeah,
it's also, it's kind of like the Telly Savalas thing. Even though, wasn't he Italian? Or no, he wasn't actually Italian, right?
Oh, Telly Savalas?
Yeah.
Yeah, I without looking it up, put that out there right now, at least. I believe he was Greek.
But like, he was a distinct-looking bald dude. Yul Brynner, when he did the whole thing. Like, these are old dudes.
Yeah.
And then Dana White kind of took over that whole, like, middle-aged, bald, white badass, right? So he's the president of UFC, whatever. And Vince has to look and go, oh, I got to stand out, too. Like, he can't afford to look old anymore.
I mean, the funny thing is, I mean... Again, don't watch that much UFC these days, but when I do catch it, I'm like, yeah, Dana White's starting to, you know, look a little bit older here. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is what it is, you know, because he is getting older. Like, I mean, he's at least got to be in his mid-50s. Like, I know that he's not that old, but I know.
That's also what I was going to bring up is the pressure used to be on women to constantly look younger, right? You got all of these products to toughen your skin up, dye your hair, do this, do that, right? And all of a sudden, guys are starting to do it, and you're actually starting to see, like, rich dudes do it. And everyone looks like an alien after a while.
Yeah, it is such a bad look. Like, just... Mm-hmm. It is one of those ones where it's just like, why is this catching on? Like, everyone keeps on making fun of these people, but yet people keep on doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I know after a while, like, the real psychos, that's like mental illness after a while. You know, where you just keep getting it. So where you are almost on the cusp of looking like a legit monster. Like, who was it? Like, have you seen Madonna? She's like the new freak right now.
Oh, I have heard the word out there, but never really took a look, because I feel like that's popped up recently outside of the show.
Dude, it's brutal. It's rough, and it's like remembering what she used to look like, but also remembering her attitude. That it was like, you know, the don't give a fuck attitude, this and this, and you just see her getting old. And I guess you can say it's I don't give a fuck, I'm doing this to myself, and cool.
Oh.
But then, if you don't look like your driver's license, I mean, how do you get anywhere? So,
what?
Yeah, but like, and then it just, isn't it fitting that Vince looks like this now? I mean, I texted you last night. Like, my enthusiasm for wrestling was so high after Saturday. Like, I couldn't wait for Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, you had Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew, which I about fell over. That was so awesome.
Well, that was one thing that it was so funny because you asked about the show with Chris and I. Like, we barely... All of this other shenanigans surrounding WrestleMania, we didn't talk about that much. And you're right. Like, there was even stuff on Sunday that kind of had you really excited about wrestling. And then Wednesday came and you... Good God. Just... It's not like alienating my belief in wrestling or anything like that, because we are way beyond that at this juncture.
It's, all that's happening is like it's validating my opinion that Vince and Tony Khan don't know what they're doing.
Oh,
So we'll get to that in a second, but like Sheamus and all that, like
Oh,
Sheamus
yeah.
for Drew, like, what
Yeah,
more could you have wanted except for that being longer? I did not want that to end. Never.
Yeah, they've kind of gotten into that habit, and I don't mind it sometimes where the harder hitting matches nowadays do tend to be the of the shorter variety.
Yeah, and we were talking about things last week when we said like Brock and Omos.
Oh, and
5 minutes.
it's yeah, I guess, oh man, I'm kind of looking at all the times, and it's almost a little surprising that 2 20-minute matches, that one got 1640 according to the old Wikipedia here.
Which one did?
The triple threat, Gunther,
Okay.
Sheamus, McIntyre.
Yeah, I would have been fine with another 16 minutes. I mean, it's not my body, so as a fan, how could you not want that to keep going? I mean, just three dudes in a form of entertainment where you're not really supposed to hurt each other.
Are really hurting each other.
Yes, and two of them are legit best friends. Dude, that's like you and me just going at it, just beating the shit out of each other, and then we go, hey, let's include, I don't know, like some dude off the side. So he beats the hell out of both of us, we get some shots on each other, and then we both lose. Like, that doesn't seem like that makes a lot of sense. That sounds like a bad time, but these animals are all over it. For our entertainment,
Yeah.
go as long as you want. I prefer a little longer. But I legit popped when Gunther won because I really thought
Oh.
Sheamus was going to win, and I would have been okay with that too.
Yeah, there
But
were a lot of the matchups where I it didn't really care which way things ran.
that one I obviously preferred Gunther winning.
Yeah, I was on the side of Asuka getting her
Yes.
shine back, and
That's what should have happened. Yeah.
but also I'm like, okay, I mean, you guys are really all in on Bianca, so
Okay. Here's. Yeah.
the only problem I see with that is a similar problem with the whole Cody situation, Cody Roman Reigns situation. Like, what do they do?
Yes, that's a problem. That's the exact problem because. Like, I was not happy Asuka lost, and it's nothing against Bianca.
Yeah, exactly.
When they said it was a calendar year, I was like, God damn, really? Now, Triple H likes his champions, but also knowing that Vince was meddling already,
Oh.
you have to stop and go, was Asuka supposed to win? Because she takes off, comes back as this new Killer Clown version, and she's a bad guy. Well, Bianca losing to her with like the Miz and all that stuff kind of makes sense. Then you can also have them have, it was good, so why not have them keep going? But
Yeah.
on Raw, there is no one for Bianca now. They blew through Bayley, they blew through Becky. Well, not blew, but I mean that's already happened.
They definitely didn't blow through the
No.
Becky one, but and they, I guess at this point they got enough out of her and Asuka. They got a month out of it.
Yeah.
I guess if you do I said do. The title change, that does give you a little more time with the program. But yeah, with a clean win by Bianca, it's just like, okay, I mean,
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
what else? You know, Asuka
And
can't go back after it, really. Like, there isn't a good excuse for to get her
no.
back in the championship picture again.
Yeah, I mean, no near fall, or not near fall, no phantom fall, phantom
Oh,
count,
yeah, there are no
no
phantom count
referee messed
out.
up. It was just straight up she lost.
Yeah.
And again, if Bianca had more people to go after, or I'm sorry, for more people to go after Bianca, because I'm honestly thinking, like, they've done nothing with Piper Niven, ever since Elimination Chamber.
And now that Vince, like, that's one where if Triple H couldn't figure it out, I have absolutely no faith that Vince is going to figure it out.
No, I think also, though, remember what we always say is, like, someone returning at the Rumble is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because you're not in plans. So
yeah, unless you're a star like a, you know, John Cena coming back for a Rumble or something like that. Yeah.
What a letdown that was, too. Jesus Christ. That wasn't good. Like, old John looking pale as hell, his bald spot blaring out. Like,
I wasn't thinking of that one. I was thinking, what was that one that he returned from injury like 3 months earlier than expected?
Oh, yeah, that was going into Orlando because it turned out.
Oh.
I
couldn't remember which year that was, but that was the one that I had in mind. Like, people of that magnitude coming back at the Rumble, they're going to have plans for Mania that year. But right. Someone on Piper Niven, her level in the pecking order, yeah, like, it's you're almost assured of not having a singles match when you come back right around the Rumble time. You know, like, you're probably not going to get built up enough to go after the championship, especially with at least one spot being locked in by a Royal Rumble winner. So yeah, it is a really tough spot to be in, and that's it. I agree. That's at least part of the reason. Like, and it's also not the time to build any. I guess you could maybe start building the next challenger, and that's something that Triple H could have done in the meantime. But yeah, that part has not happened for anyone. You know, Piper Niven included.
No, because remember, they used to have that experimental period between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble.
The experimental champion.
Yeah, or just someone, like, trying to push somebody or whatever else. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's why that outcome didn't make sense. And, no, I don't, especially now, I don't have the faith that something good's going to come of this. Because even on Raw, there was supposed to be a triple threat match to determine who is Bianca's next opponent. And somehow, some way, that got changed to the tag team match. So for the women's tag match. So, okay. But, and then, what was the other? I actually thought Omos should have beaten Brock, and I know that sounds stupid, and then not knowing what they were going to do with Brock, obviously, if that was a plan, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I didn't. That made sense. I did not expect Omos to win. I would say, though, that his dominant win on Raw says they at least have some plans. He has had two pretty decent matches now, because the matchup with Braun Strowman was good, and this one with Brock went well. And we're never going to get a 30-minute classic from Omos. Like, that's know. And that's fine. I do think that he's still kind of, like, that man is so giant. He's just going to be limited. Like, that is a sight to behold, yet also, yeah, your opponents are pretty limited without looking pretty silly.
Yeah. I mean, if I thought it was great. Brock gave him so much offense and looked weak. And then, of course, he won. I was like, oh, it was fun. Cool.
Yeah.
Brock got his money and got out.
Yep. He loves those early gigs if he's not main eventing.
Yeah. I was torn on Edge winning, but to finish the story, it makes sense. They stopped the match to close a cut.
I do not.
I
saw that cut. That was not a cut.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Was it really bad?
It took 13 staples to close it afterwards.
Okay, when did they start stapling people's heads, by the way?
A long time ago. Had one of several times that I broke my head open as a child, I got staples. So.
Oh. That sounds fucking miserable. You know?
It is uncomfortable. That's for sure.
Like, accidentally, like, staple your finger or something? How bad that hurt?
Yeah, I'm going to guess that the techniques for doing that now are a little more palatable than when I was a child in the 80s.
You're not just, like, open up the staple or just smacking your hand with it like a dumbass. Yeah. But it just, that just sounds, it sounds terrible. Staple is a bad word anyways. It's just, it's just a bad
connotation. Yeah, that he, because I ended up, when they showed the replay, I'm like, oh my God, he got fucking drilled with that ladder on the head. And yeah, he had a, like a crevice in his head. It was disgusting.
All right. Well,
so, I just thought that the ladder shot was bad. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, I think he caught, because I thought it was more of his forehead area, to be honest with you. But the reason you didn't see much was it was in his, it was all in his scalp.
Oh, okay.
So all of his hair, like, just soaked up all of that blood after the sutures or whatever temporary solution they gave him. Because he had to get, the staples were after the, after WrestleMania.
I thought they said they did it in, they were doing it in the ring. They were fixing them up in the ring. That's why they were able to continue.
Oh, okay. I guess I thought that they only did a temporary solution and he had to do that later. But yeah, he showed the picture of it on Twitter and it was gross.
Yeah, I just looked it up. That's pretty nasty. Damn. Those ladders, man. I have new respect for them. So,
yeah, well, that's another one where you're just like, man, these motherfuckers are really putting it on the line. Like,
yeah.
Again, most of the criticism around any of our shows, not necessarily in the ring,
nope.
Or what these guys are tolerating to.
It's not talent effort, that's for sure.
Yeah, not talent effort.
The worst one I've ever seen, and she was fine, was Mia Yim. Remember her? It was Io Shirai, right?
Yeah.
That was disgusting. I'm like, oh my God, she's dead. And then she did it again, right? She was like two of them or something?
Yeah.
She's crazy. I guess if they wanted to build Mia Yim up, that'd be fine for Bianca, but she's been kind of MIA for a while. Well, Jesus. But anyways, she's been missing for a while.
There are options. They do need to be built, though.
Yeah.
You know, and there is nothing at hand right now as we speak that would scream to me, yeah, anyone that would make it a serious matchup, I guess, is maybe a better way to put it. You can put anyone in that match, but it's kind of like the whole, I mean, we talked about it a lot with Ronda Rousey, where, you know, like, okay, here's the just called up Shotzi Blackheart for your, you know, first challenger. It's just like, come on, guys. Like, we know that Shotzi's not winning this. You know, like, I love Shotzi, but come on.
Although they did say, like, I think it was Corey. He's like, then you got Shotzi. You have no idea what she's going to do in a match. You don't know if she's going to dump on her head or throw herself on her head or throw herself through. I'm like, that's the most accurate description of her that anyone's given her. It's like, kudos. But
occasionally his truth-telling is actual truth-telling and not just him trying to hype himself up.
What else was on night two? I'm forgetting.
Okay, we got... the women's tag match. Because... yeah, the men's tag match was a lot of fun Saturday night. The women's was just kind of a, like you said, it was a whatever. Talked about Bianca and Asuka. Oh, we covered all of them.
Okay.
Because unless you're counting Snoop versus The Miz.
Shane didn't warm up because that was supposed to be LA Knight spot. Yeah.
Oh, hold on now. I did not hear this. This was supposed to be LA Knight's spot.
That's the rumor, okay? It also makes sense.
Yes.
Because he kept saying WrestleMania is going to get its LA spot or whatever.
Yeah, LA moment. Yeah.
Yeah. So why the hell would it be Shane? And I loved the fact Shane went off script and said, "Give me a mic." You guys have no idea how much that means to me. Blah 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 blah. Yanks it away from him, then blows his fucking
quad.
Quad. That sucks. And by the way, you would have no idea Shane McMahon showed up if you didn't watch WrestleMania. They have expunged him from night two of WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched the replay, I suppose. But yeah, that was rough.
I blew his knee out.
Yeah, that is what happens when someone blows their quad at WrestleMania.
Jesus. It's just so stupid.
I'm just sitting here going, why do you think a leapfrog is a good idea? I know
it's not a bad idea if you're used to doing it. So to go out and all of a sudden just, you know, start doing all these moves that you haven't done in a year.
Oh my God, a year? Like, hasn't he been off the whole pandemic period?
Was he not? And yeah, I guess he wasn't. No.
He might have.
Did Braun have a cage match at WrestleMania 2 years ago? Right? In Tampa?
Was that the first one back with the crowd?
Yeah, I believe that was a cage match with him and Braun.
Okay. Well, then it's been 2 years since he's really had a match then.
So, yeah, it's overzealous. So, but
yep.
I purposely didn't say anything Sunday, nor have I mentioned it the entire week. So it's the first time I'm asking you, but I kind of figure, since you already said something, what did you think about the end of the show?
Well, that's where Chris and I established things getting a little weird in the WWE. I've said it, and it's something that I don't think kind of is out of pocket from what I've consistently said. The WWE has, for whatever reason, over a long time period here now, chosen when they have a moment to crown a new conquering hero, just. They do not pull the trigger for whatever reason. You know, one of the few people, and Chris brought this one up, and it's hard to disagree because, like, there are some other recent examples. Like, I mean, Roman Reigns himself is an easy example of he had, what, 3 star-making moments, and the fourth try was when he finally got it. There are more. Bianca Belair is she lost to Becky in 26 minutes. Everyone was kind of pissed. She kind of laid low a little bit, but then they just kind of consistently built her back up, and then they had the revenge match, and everything was cool. So, you know, I still feel like there's been more examples of it not going well. Honestly, after someone losing a star-making moment. And so there's some hope for Cody, but it's just like, why do you guys do this to yourselves? Like, you have built, like, this great rapport with the crowd. Everyone loved, like, everyone's saying, like, Saturday is, like, one of the greatest ever. And then, yeah, you and I are questioning our fandom of wrestling by Wednesday. Like, and that decision to me was the first decision in all of them. Then I'm just like, I just don't get it. Like, Roman still has plenty of stories. without the championship. You know, whether it's just family infighting at first. And that's kind of one of those other ones that I know Chris and I didn't talk about. And I know I've at least seen it floated that Jay's going to be the guy to dethrone Roman. And I'm like,
I wondered the same thing.
I'm like, okay. Are you really just going to put one of the twins as the top twin? I mean, it makes sense because he isn't the one that keeps on getting thrown into the drunk tank, but...
Yeah, well, I thought the same thing. I don't see how it's justifiable for Cody lost. I don't want to hear this bullshit about we're telling a story, this is the next chapter. That's garbage. It is. And then I saw an interview where Paul Heyman said that once Cody wins, they don't have anything for him. Like, there's no more story for him. So Cody can never win the title then. Oh. You know what I mean? That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So that's garbage. And you know, I hate when people toe the company line. That sounds like a yes man garbage answer. Which is very weird from Paul Heyman. But that's bullshit. Right.
Yeah.
You're right that Roman has so many ways he can go after this. With his schedule, it's a perfect way to write him off for a while. He doesn't show up every week anyways. He has recently, because it's WrestleMania time. But he's generally only on SmackDown like once a month.
Sometimes every other week.
There you go. So, yeah, but it's like, okay, so this could be him taking off. Like, oh my God, we've lost everything. You can have the twins out there. You know, you can have Solo. Be like, well, I'll have to step up as the badass of the Bloodline. Whatever. You know?
Right.
There's plenty there. You also have, and this is something that drove me crazy about Monday. Matt Riddle comes back. He was put out by Solo Sikoa. So I like the little clever thing with them saying it has to be someone who wrestled this weekend. So it couldn't have been Matt Riddle. But Riddle still could have shown up and got into it with Solo.
Not all.
Didn't happen. He came out there acting the exact same. And then hammered it up with The Miz. And you're like, all right, I guess that's just what he's going to be from now on. I keep waiting for something different for Riddle, but I guess it's never going to happen. So,
and that's another one where I'm like, Vince is not getting over the stoner part of this gimmick.
Yeah, which, by the way, for a guy who went to rehab, wouldn't it have been cool if he came back different? You know? I mean, I know people didn't know that, but it would have been like, wait, why is he acting like this? Then he goes after Solo because he has to be serious. I've never been put out my entire career, and you did it, so I had to make changes or just something. It's not hard, which is why it's not – there's no justifiable reason for the hero to win this battle. And –
to win this battle?
No, there's no justifiable reason. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I said that. There is no justifiable reason for the hero not to win.
Yeah, correct. And
the next thing, like, you're not building up Roman Reigns anymore than he already is. Because now you're really risking fatigue with it. You're really risking that eye-rolling stuff that happened with John Cena. To the point where it's like, cool, Roman's just going to win again. Like, so that when he does win, it's shocking. Then they should have something shocking happen. That's the only way that people's interest will peak any higher than it already is. He fought Logan Paul. We all know who's winning now. Sure. Seth, we all knew he was beating Seth. He lost, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, no chance in hell. They did a good job with Drew McIntyre because, all right, but it wasn't time. Like, the only reason Drew McIntyre losing was odd was because it was in England. If it was here in the States, we wouldn't have blinked. We wouldn't have batted an eye about it.
No. Nope.
Yeah, and they were already on the way to Cody and Roman, so the Sami Zayn thing had to be taken care of. Transitioned it very well into, you know, their stuff.
Yeah, and if Vince or Triple H does not think that Cody is ready for it, they were not going to crown Sami Zayn the champion at WrestleMania either. Right. So that line of argument is deader than a doornail at this point.
And what's not helping matters is Roman, either in character, kayfabe, whatever, talking about how he's beaten everybody. Because you stop and go, yeah, there's no one left for him. If, like, someone like Karrion Kross was built up, yeah, you could have that match, but he's got to be like, oh, boy, I'm getting fired again. Trying to think of, like, somebody else that they could build up. Could have built up Riddle, you know, done something. And I know he's faced Riddle before, but not the new Riddle, you know, in this world.
Right, yeah, the rebooted Riddle. Yeah. But
imagine we were at WrestleMania 30 and Daniel Bryan lost. Seriously. Exactly. Like, yeah. No. It was the right thing.
Yeah.
It was the right thing to do at the time.
They made him a star. You know? Yeah. Like, again, like, they just, for whatever reason, they just seem really weird about, about that. Because this is something I know that Chris did, and I've been trying to look up here. Roman Reigns is at 941. Pedro Morales is at 1,027. Bruno is 1,237. Hogan is 1,474. Bob Backlund is 2,135. And Bruno's longest reign is 2,803. Like, we are not getting to 2803. And I think Chris mentioned there's no way we're getting to Hogan. Yeah, 1477, like another year plus of Roman is champion.
All right, what was Hogan's number again?
1474.
And Roman was at 951?
941.
Jesus Christ, that's two more years?
It's closer to 2 years than it is 1 year, actually, yeah.
Hogan only had the belt for 3 years straight. Are we talking, like, total time?
No, these are longest single reigns. Because they have mentioned that Reigns, on TV, I think they've mentioned who are the, that's what it is, to shorten the hats, how they get around it. They mentioned that there's only five people ahead of Roman Reigns, so that they don't mention two of Bruno, since Bruno has two reigns in that time period, they only use his top number.
Okay.
So they, yeah, because Michael Cole had said that the only people with longer reigns are Morales, Hogan, Backlund, and San Martino.
Oh.
They didn't mention, though, that Bruno has two reigns on that list ahead of the Roman variety of reigns.
Yeah, and it's also not the 50s and 60s when he was champion, too, you know? So it's,
yeah, that is something that occasionally I'm like, guys, this it's a different time period, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It changed just in general. Change as much as the WWE, I think, does a great job of building someone and letting someone hold on to a championship for a while. But there's also times where it's just like, okay, like, We're good. Like, I mean, Becky Lynch has been great without the championship.
Yes, yeah,
You
you,
know?
and that's the big thing. Roman doesn't need it now. I mean, he doesn't,
Oh.
and Cody did. So, like, and especially now it's coming out. Cody's merch was the top selling merch all of WrestleMania weekend. That's
Yeah.
crazy.
I mean, I'm not surprised. People have gone bonkers for that guy ever since he came back.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. Like, he was, I mean, I saw him in Charlotte when he was huge with AEW. He made the announcement that if he doesn't beat Jericho, he's not going to be a guy. And he
Oh,
made
yeah,
that
he's
in
not gonna
Charlotte.
challenge for it, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay. And the people were not happy. But they went nuts for him. And then they soured on him for whatever reason. So,
Well, he did take a weird turn there for a minute.
yeah, and then you start reading like his interviews talking about what he was doing. It was kind of like on purpose. I was like, well, all right, but I
Yeah.
mean, but the point is, like, what was, I'm trying to think of some other famous like title matches. Oh, here's a real big one. How about Booker T losing to Triple H?
Oh, Jesus.
That wet fart. That had racism in there, and the black guy still loses.
Yep.
That was, oh no, it's just another chapter in the story. No, it's not. There's no grand scheme. Because I've seen people sitting there going, "Oh look, Triple H knows what he's doing, having Roman win. What's he doing?" It doesn't compel me to watch the next Roman Reigns match thinking he's going to lose.
Well, and that's where I kind of circle a little bit back to Jay. Like, you build up Cody this whole time, but then Jay purposely comes back from to the Bloodline, betrays Sami Zayn, who had, kind of become a friend through all of the weirdness that they had within the Bloodline. And then he's supposed to be like, I know that there's story there for him and Roman to still have beef. But still, like, he just came back to them and served them.
Yes.
Why would he then immediately again turn on him? Like,
Yeah, if
the time frame doesn't make sense. If he gets refrustrated with him again, okay, that story I can handle a little bit more, but yeah, what do you do with Roman still then? Like, if Jay isn't really a right now, Jay could be a right now option, but yeah, the timing just doesn't feel right to me.
And like everyone's saying, oh, this is Jey Uso's story. That's part of it, sure. But the whole point was Roman beat him down and used him, basically. Gaslighted him, all that stuff. Well, the story with Cody Roman is not Jey's story. Jey's story turned into Sammy and Kevin. You can circle back, but again, it doesn't need to be him versus Roman for the title.
Oh.
It can be, yeah, I finally got you. And then you can still have Roman save face and go, well, he couldn't do it when I had the title.
Oh.
Just some like dickhead heel response.
Yeah.
So no, so trying to justify poor decisions is just infuriating, and that's what this was. Even we were, which was it, New Orleans, where Brock beat Roman?
Oh, yeah, second New
We left that
Orleans.
place like a fucking funeral.
Yeah.
Like, and we didn't really want to see Roman win anyways. But if you're forcing him down our throats, give him the win.
Yeah, that was one of a multiple of times that Roman, 'cause I mean, people have mentioned like just how long that guy's been in the main event now too, and it's been a
Yes.
while.
And I will say this is, was he the main event last year?
Yes.
Yeah, because Bianca was
Night one.
night one. Okay. Yep. Who did he face last year? I forget.
Was it Brock last year?
Oh, yeah, it was. Because that's when he won both titles. That's right. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so, and even then, like, that at least had some drama. Like, oh, Brock will be a beat. Okay, cool. No. All right. Oh. But they finished that story, so they brought it back up for SummerSlam. It's like, oh, my God. But no. Yeah. Like, there's no justifying the hero losing. There's just not. And to say, like, the excuses you hear are even worse. If he wins, where does he go from there? There's always Seth waiting.
Yeah.
Because I know Seth is a good guy, but he can't be happy losing three times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's still enough of a dynamic there since he did such dastardly things to Cody. That right. I still think you can get a story out of that.
Yeah, so it's
so
just
yeah,
like...
there's at least one story, especially since, you know, Seth is another guy. He hasn't really been around the championship picture for a while now, and he's doing just okay for himself.
Yeah, or how about, you know, Brock does the whole turning on things because Cody's the champion. So you can have some Cody Brock matches where everyone's like, they're giving it back to Brock, aren't they?
Oh.
Build some drama there, but you know. Nah. It's such a genius idea. It's so creative to make sure Roman like, oh, Jesus. And the other thing is, and he wouldn't have won the title, but the second the referee sees Solo down there, it should have been a disqualification or toss it out or no, you got to go. Roman's like, I'm pinning the guy here. Like, no, he has to go. You know, just something.
To give Cody a break.
Yeah.
And it just seems so weak too that I'm not as down on the Samoan Spike as Chris is. But still, it didn't seem like enough to put Cody down after everything that he'd kicked out of during the match.
I guess not knowing it's coming. You can justify it by saying he doesn't know it's coming.
Yeah. In the spear.
Brace yourself,
Yeah. But it is just like, yeah, there's... That's why, in a lot of ways, I really enjoyed. I didn't watch the end of it, but in comparison, I guess Cody and Braun Breaker had similar-ish responses. I'm glad that Cody just called a spade a spade. It is getting entirely too weird in professional wrestling about the level of everyone should cheat the win on every TV station now.
Well, if you...
It's not just AEW is worse.
No, I was going to say Booker T even said, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Oh my God. He didn't stop. He said that for at least 12 times in every match during Stand and Deliver. At least. Holy Christ almighty.
Let's just shift over to Stand and Deliver for a little bit. Or NXT for a little bit. I mean, whatever. You can try to justify the Roman win all you want.
Well, no. Well, then let me transition to this. I really liked Braun Breaker laying out Carmelo Hayes.
I did too.
And Trick Williams. I'm like, yeah, like, I thought it was weird that he decided to shake his hand and raise his arm after the match. I'm like, dude, they just cheated. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I was the same way. I was like, that's kind of a strange decision.
Yeah, and then to have him go, oh, no, fuck these two guys. They cheated to win. Yeah, he should be pissed about that. And he should, you know, he can take them out. So why not do it?
Yeah, and I...
That match
match was not good. There was something off the whole time. Melo winning was fine. You know, whatever.
Yeah, it seemed like that's the story that they were trying to tell. And I even think I said it in our preview last week. I was ready for Braun not to have the championship just to see what he can do without the championship, you know?
That's cool. See, that's what happens when the champion loses and you have a plan afterwards. You know, Braun's story didn't end. Melo's story didn't end. It just went to the next chapter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yet the right thing was done by having Melo win.
Yeah.
So I'm getting that. It's bullshit. So, anyways. But, yeah, him attacking him was great. I was like, God, why is he acting like this? Like, this is kind of weird. And then he just blasts him, and then poor Trick. He didn't take but half a second to turn him over for that jackhammer.
Yeah, that was pretty quick.
Yeah. NXT was weird this week. You tell the transitioning stuff. Like, Indy Hartwell's victory speech was something else.
That is one of the decisions that I teased when recording with Chris that I wanted to get into with you, because that was the most confusing decision at Stand and Deliver for me.
Okay.
I mean, they've played the heartbreak, you know, up and down nature of Indy Hartwell, you know, like it's been out there, you know, as a storyline for a while now. It didn't seem like she was on an upswing enough to get the championship. And then you have then the champion or the ex-champion doesn't really do anything to get her championship back this week?
Yeah, she wasn't even on the show, was she?
Wasn't even on the show. It's just like...
There's a lot of that for both shows.
Huh?
So that's exactly why I chose her. That's what they like doing. You go on a losing streak, you fluke your way into whatever big match you have, and then you win it. They do it all the time. That's the only reason I chose her, was for that exact formula that they do. I was like, it's weird that, because who was it, her, Sal Roca, and who was the other person?
Oh, in the Last Chance match?
Yeah, I can't remember who.
Ivy Nile.
Yeah. So, it made sense, and as soon as she won, I was like, oh, they're going to have her win this thing. And then to have her beat Zoe Stark, like, what? Okay. I honestly was like, are they really going to pull it from her already? Like, that's just rude.
Yeah, I had both thoughts going through my head simultaneously, where I'm like, Zoe Stark has no legs to stand on now. It's the weirdest thing that she went from... was it War Games that Shawn Michaels brought in people to help pick the teams, like ex-superstars, to help, you know, kind of break down the field? And everyone was loving Zoe Stark, and it's just like, okay, understood why they went with the Roxanne Perez thing. It seemed like her turn to have the championship after they set up this ladder match, and then she didn't get it, and then she loses the very next show, and it's just like, are you telling me she's dead in the water now? Like, I am so
confused. Unless that's like her swan song, and she's going up to the main roster.
Yeah.
They like jobbing them out on the way out.
It's possible. If they decide to go that route, that's fine. But, I guess I don't even, in some ways, I don't know why you have her back if she's just there to lose.
Yeah. Apparently, Pretty Deadly was supposed to debut on Raw. But that got scrapped. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Because Pretty Deadly was on the show.
So, oh, and they already... they set up a feud for them during Stand and Deliver.
Right. So I was like, I don't know if that was true.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me if that was going to be the case. Just because, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that they pulled someone in the middle of a storyline and or fired someone in the middle of a storyline. Yeah. So nothing is truly surprising out of them.
But NXT this week had some good wrestling on it, some decent stuff. But the one that cracked me up was the Chase U stuff. And Duke's like, "Yeah, well, where's my thing?" Blah blah blah. And Andre Chase just tells him, "Well, you were the one that was saying that you shouldn't get awards and all this." And he goes, "Well, yeah, but it's different. I saved the day." He's like, "You know, went off whatever." Andre goes, "Professor Chase is like, you know, you make a good point there, Duke. That's why next week we're going to grant you the MVP trophy." And it cracked me up how genuinely stupid it was. But Duke gets up and goes, "Oh, you son of a bitch, you got me." Like, it's such an old man thing to do. So that should be fun.
Yeah, that is a very, my grandfather would have done that kind of a thing.
Yeah. Oh, you son of a bitch, you got me. Like, okay.
And I didn't realize that the WWE writers were 130 years old.
Well, audiences. So. Yeah, then Cora Jade came back. I actually didn't hate seeing her. So I was like, all right, let's see what happens here. That'd be fun.
She's been much better since transitioning to the bad girl persona.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's disappeared for a while.
Yeah, these injury things, I guess I'd still rather know than not know. It really kind of, to me, would help as a fan to realize why someone isn't on TV and not just because you decided to punish them because they, you know, had a third mimosa at brunch on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Or some whatever asinine reason they got suspended.
Yeah. Yeah, but really for me, oh, and that was, we started the NXT stuff because of Booker T. And we can wrap up the NXT stuff with Booker T. When Tyler Bate came in the ring at Stand and Deliver, Booker T legitimately goes, "Who's this guy?" And then, like, Tyler Bate does one of his strongman things, and he goes, "Oh, he's a big, strong boy." I'm like, "You just said you don't know who that is. How do you know the catchphrase? Or how do you know the thing?" He's god-awful. And I just love hearing how much worse he gets from show to show.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where sometimes he has some fun zingers in there. I just don't even know what's going through his head. Like, it's just word jumble most of the time.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. The computer has to spit words.
Yeah, it's really weird that it is like a computer program that's just spitting out words at random. And he just says them, and it's just like, huh? So often, Vic's like, "What are you even talking about?"
Yes.
And I'm like, "Yeah, Vic, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that, buddy. Like, there's nothing anyone can do with that." Oh, man. But yeah, he's mostly a train wreck with some zingers in there. It's just, it's weird. I don't think it necessarily helps the product just because his name is down there. You know, and he definitely isn't in the, what is it? I'd be more than happy to hear Nigel McGuinness again. I'm not going to purposely watch ROH for him, per se, but, you know, better choice than Booker T. Throwing it out there.
Yes. Yeah, a hamster eating cabbage would be a better choice. So
anyone with a coherent viewpoint would be great.
Well, you know, Kevin, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So
that is the only thing that's been coherent. Except unless you're Roxanne Perez, then it's okay to be a babyface.
Yeah, he is so biased. He doesn't even hide it. He's such a homer. So I was like, okay. But and then we get AEW on a show where they announce they're going to try and play Wembley Stadium. 90,000. That's not including the floor. You know? Like, how the hell do they expect to fill that with what they've got? And then especially with the decisions they make. Dude, how long was that MJF debacle? That was awful TV.
That's one where I'm like, I just sit there to myself and go, crowd, I get it. He's the hometown guy. Why are you cheering this?
It was supposed to come off douchey, right? I guess. I don't know what it was like. Why is it MJF Day? I'm being serious. Why? Because he's the champion of AEW, so Long Island gave him the key to the city? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That is the story.
But like Jack Perry, Jungle Boy, even says, like, you know, you come out, you do your 20 minutes worth of horseshit every week, or dog and pony show every week. And since he said that, it's like, yeah, he's right. This didn't do anything.
I mean, it wasn't good. It didn't serve a purpose, as far as I could tell. Like, even with Jack Perry attacking him afterwards, just like, okay, what this all do for us here? Like, what story did this advance? What feud did this advance? Like, none. No. It was his feud with the band director, and I guess why was the band itself bad? Like, the one guy playing the horn messed up like a half a dozen times. I'm like,
maybe it was on purpose.
I'm like,
to make it douchey.
But like, that was the thing though. Like, they didn't make it like that. They didn't make it douchey, I guess. If that's what they were, yeah. If that's what they were going for, they didn't get there.
Yeah, all it did was take up time.
Yeah,
on a company with a gigantic roster like that, you're taking up valuable time for the exact thing you said you weren't going to be. By the way, and I know I drive this into the ground. It's a dead horse. I know they were supposed to be the action, not this sports entertainment shit.
You're right.
And even the sports entertainment stuff, if it has a point, then sure. This didn't at all. It got the mayor of Long Island booed. That's kind of funny. But
yeah, is that really worth it, getting the mayor of Long Island booed?
Yeah, he ain't coming back next week. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just... It... I could not believe, I'm like, it's just, my enthusiasm is just at such low depths now. And like, Friday for SmackDown, I guess Triple H is leading the show off, or at least he's going to make a special announcement.
Oh my gosh. Well, Triple H can try to I thought it was fun that he came out to introduce Raw, and then I watched Raw. So him coming out at the beginning of SmackDown, not going to help things. And it's going to be one of those, guys, I can tell the storytelling difference between you and Vince. It's not hard. Like, you can lie through your teeth as much as you want. I have two fucking eyes, guys.
Oh, I just thought that crowd for Raw was exhausted, which I think they were.
Yeah.
But then I realized. realized that show was boring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, there was nothing going on. No long matches like Triple H had been doing. Like, the whole thing with Kevin and Sammy, they're like, you know, we're here, we want to fight. Okay. Street Profits show up. They're like, oh, cool, they're getting ready to fight. The Street Profits go on to tell them, hey, we're here, we want to fight because we want to fight, and we won the match last week, so you should fight us. Yeah, that's why you're here. That's what we just said. Like, what are you repeating what we just said for?
I don't know.
That's a Vince thing. He thinks you're an idiot.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, he's got to over-explain it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, in some ways, they could have been more. They just. The whole thing could have been more direct.
It was until the Prophets came out and said, you know,
well, no. No. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn just should have straight called them out because they did win the match.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure. For
that,
sure.
That would have been the very. Instead of going, open. I'm just really starting to get tired of open challenges at this point. Again, that's another one where. I'm not even saying it's an AEW thing at this point. There are too many open challenges in the WWE, too. It's just like, guys, give it a fucking break here. Like, not everyone can be issuing open challenges every week. God damn it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, them issuing an open challenge instead of just directly... Yeah, challenging the Street Profits didn't completely come off. You know, like, to me, that would have saved the Street Profits looking like a bunch of idiots saying the same thing a different way.
I wonder if that was supposed to be Pretty Deadly. If I'm going to stick with Pretty Deadly was supposed to show up,
I
wonder if that's who that was supposed to be.
That would have made more sense to have a first title defense against someone just getting called up and... You know, especially for a match the day after I guess it was 2 days for them after their win. But it would have made sense. Like, you know, if you want to get Kevin and Sammy a quick, nice, cheapo win on the Raw after WrestleMania to kind of just keep the crowd going and have a little fun with their championship reign... Pretty Deadly seems like a good one, and you can rebuild them to get a serious championship shot somewhere down the line.
Yeah. But yeah, so... you saying it was very obvious, like, it was clear as day. Like, all of a sudden, Seth's segment gets cut during commercial? So all he did was come out, dance to his music, and leave? What?
Yeah, I don't know why that one didn't... Because I'm trying to remember, I mentioned it to you and I mentioned it on the show with Chris. My set-off moment was when Corey Graves goes local medical facility and I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
But I'm not sure if the moment that you're talking about happened first because I did think and I'm like, huh, well, that was a weird segment with Seth Rollins.
Yeah, and then there's actually fan footage. The guy coming out and telling Seth. Seth's like leaning over the ropes, like, what? Okay. Yeah. So you sent me out here, and now it just looks like an asshole. Thanks.
Yeah, I definitely saw that fan footage, and at a minimum, Seth looked confused.
Yeah, because, like, why would you cut it? What? I mean, I don't really remember what else happened after that, but nothing that we needed to see. We didn't need a 20-minute beatdown by Brock. Like, okay, but yeah, it's and my thing is, and it's true. Like, you know, Vince writing is a lot of bait and switch. So they told us, okay, Cody's gonna have a tag match with Roman and Solo with Brock Lesnar. You advertise it for a few hours, right, during the show, and then it doesn't happen. And they've done it more than once, but. It doesn't happen, and everyone's, like, crucifying him for more false advertising, you know? Hey, you said this was going to happen. It didn't happen.
Oh.
I haven't heard one peep out of anybody for how So I haven't heard one peep about anybody saying, oh, they actually legitimately advertised Ricky Starks and Juice Robinson for Dynamite.
Oh.
And it didn't happen.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. Okay. definitely no one's getting crucified for that happening in AEW. That's for sure. Even though it is, like you said, a very Vince thing to do. I do believe the announcers said something specifically, at least during the show. So I will give them a modicum. Well, I guess they did said the same thing on Raw, honestly. I guess we're not getting that tag match then.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So I guess that admission by the announcers is not as big of a deal as I just thought it was 5 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Sometimes saying things out loud helps.
But no, I did laugh though. Like, Jay White, the hottest free agent in the business. He goes, yeah, so Hunter, so I'm ready to sign. He's like, well, hang on, we'll sign you on Sunday night. Okay. Sees Cody lose. And then, you know, let me think about it. Hears Vince is writing stuff. He immediately calls Tony Khan. Yeah, just sign me up. I'll be right there.
And FTR, if they had not already re-signed the moment that news hit on Monday, they're like, hey Tony, we would like to come back since the Reign of Terror is taking back over again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I guess some of that kind of got squashed because Dax Hardwood, someone said something about like how he held up Tony Khan or whatever, or they did. And he goes, and so we don't go to WWE. He goes, we don't want that schedule. I like the, you know, this schedule with AEW provides for my family, so I see my family more. So, yeah, that's why we did this. Like, so I think they were signed a while ago, but they were just doing very fun stuff to be coy about it. It did add some suspense to the match, but the guns are such horribly bad. Like, they're horribly bad in the ring. You can't take them seriously.
Yeah. I mentioned that last week. Like, I don't even know if you call it a rebuild, honestly, because I don't feel like they've ever been built to start with. You know, like, they would need a real legitimate, like, oh, I can take them seriously as a tag team kind of push.
Yeah.
And they were champions, and you couldn't take them seriously at all. And, yeah, that match was... it was not good. That did not help. That did not help me on through the end of Wednesday night. I enjoyed the outcome. I guess I'm glad that FTR is staying and that they have the championships because those championships have really been in the doghouse for quite some time.
Yeah, and that's why I said my enthusiasm was so low. Like, how do they expect to sell 90,000 seats? And I know there's going to be a stage, blah, blah, but... There's no consistency to any of their booking. Like, they took their hottest act, the Acclaim, and dicked them with this awful storyline with the JAS. Like, this is terrible.
I don't know. They have lost all of that. There are still Scissor Me signs, but they have lost a lot of momentum for no good reason, honestly. Like, I guess it would have been, to me, it would have been more fun if they had put over FTR than the guns. You know, like, if they had held on to the championships another couple of months. Because, the guns had them for at least a month and a half, right?
Yeah, they held them, period. That's too long. Like, there's nothing, like, physically wrong. Like, they're in-ring talent. I don't know.
I truly just don't care about them. Like, I care about Private Party more than I care about the Guns. And I know that Private Party hasn't really been a thing for a while now.
Well, when one of them's hurt.
Yeah.
You know, that, it's just like Top Flight. Maybe they can take the pieces of Top Flight and...
Top Flight and Private Party. The tag teams just flex with whoever isn't injured in the duos. Oof. Because isn't it Dante? Didn't Dante get hurt this time?
Yeah, taking an idiotic. A movie should have never taken. It was just dumb. So. It was Penta, right?
Oh, I didn't. I guess I didn't see. Because didn't it happen at a not AEW show?
No, it was Battleground.
Oh, was it Battleground? Ring of Honor. Oh, yeah, Ring of Honor. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's rough.
I guess I didn't see it, so.
It's rough. It was obvious, too. Like, readily apparent something would happen. So I'm sorry, something went wrong. So.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, so they are bad luck personified.
Unfortunately.
Holy smokes. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what that had to do with the tag team championships, all back to the FTR sticking around. So yeah, and I guess losing those tag teams is not going to do them any favors.
No, and even with the Guns, like, it still should have been the Acclaimed. But then with FTR, they keep bringing up the fact they lost all their belts, right? Wouldn't it have been so much cooler if you would have pulled the trigger and did the right thing? So your AEW championship will always be included with any film, you know, backlog of video, TVs.
Them and four championships.
Yeah. But look how wild things were for a while.
That story wrote itself and was one that I don't even know if you can call that dropping the ball. That's like dropping a bowling ball. It's so heavy and obvious.
Yeah. But no, so it's just AEW's booking's no better. The Bryan Danielson thing with the Blackpool Combat Club, I'm like, is he putting like a red A on everyone's forehead? For amateur? Yeah.
I liked the turn for him. And just to really kind of lock in them being a bunch of giant dickheads.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole amateur thing, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what we're going with here?
Yeah.
It's as bad as the painting that the losers on. It's just like, God, and that's another one where it's just like, guys, like, I get it. Like, you can't just have one blonde woman on a show. those types of dumb rules that Vince made up. But it's just like, guys, we have multiple people doing the exact same gimmick. Like, what are you doing here? Like, it's someone's. Tony Khan's got to be going, guys, we got to stop repeating these storylines. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, and yeah, the amateur thing is almost the same as the loser thing with the Outcast. And it's just like, come on, man.
I'm trying to remain positive. I hope, you know what? I hope tomorrow, Friday, they knock us dead. And I'm like, oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe Hunter will write Friday Night SmackDown. Vince can have Monday Night Raw. Because they're still convinced Raw's the more attractive property of the two. And it's not.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So
there is some weird attraction there that is not understandable.
Well, it's the baby, you know. That was the first baby.
I know this is the first baby, but they've been locked into this Fox contract for how long? Because it's been a few years now, hasn't it? Two or 3 years?
Okay, two or three?
You know, yeah, it's something that even my family says something about it still. Just because it's on network TV. Like, there are still people around that mainly watch network TV.
Yeah. So how do you think CBS exists?
Oh, my God. My parents and my in-laws are part of the problem.
Guess that's what that station's made for. I saw like an ad for that Ghost show. It's like only 4 episodes of Ghost left. I was like, oh, we got canceled. All right, for the season. I'm like, ugh.
I can continue to not. I was like, oh, I guess this is getting good reviews. I'll give this a watch. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Why? I'm like, yep, okay, this is done. This is not funny. Moving along now. I mean, when it's even too sappy for the wife to like it, it's pretty bad. She definitely doesn't have a harder edge of comedy enjoyment such as yours truly, but whew, man, she needs a little more than that fluffy bullshit.
Okay, all right. Are we done with wrestling, by the way? Because I would really like to talk about this for a second.
Oh, about Ghost or something else?
No, about, like, fluffy comedy.
No.
Like, what's the new thing now is dad jokes, right? And it always makes, like, the dads in the videos crack up laughing. Like, legitimately.
No.
Do you ever picture yourself doing that?
I don't know if the jokes are funny or not, just because occasionally it is just the wife and I. And I am howling, and she is not amused most of the time. It does not happen in public, not completely sure if it's actually funny or I feel like I've been telling dad jokes most of my life where I've almost intentionally bombed just to get a reaction.
Yeah, you used to do that to me. So, and that, like that, I see the appeal. You know, it's as dumb as it sounds, it's a little edgy. I don't even have an example because it just washes straight out.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll see somebody laughing at something. Oh, you got to check this out. You're going to love this. And I'm like, you don't know me then. Because I already see the beginning of whatever video you're going to show me. I know I'm not going to laugh at this. I know I'm not going to. And sure enough, they play it. I go, oh, okay. They're like, you know, that was hilarious. Overuse of the word. No, it's not. Again, my views also skew because I'll laugh at a dog video too. But...
Animal videos are great.
Yeah. Well, especially like the dark ones I've been getting on Instagram anyways, but...
Where I'm like, are you just torturing cats? Like, there's one where it's just like, oh, they don't like to walk on plastic cups, and then people just keep on putting rows of plastic cups up for their cats to jump over. And I'm like, what kind of weird shit is this? Like, aren't you kind of... fucking with your cat intentionally now?
Yeah, but the cat will get him back, though. You don't really declaw cats anymore. That bastard's going to scratch you up eventually, so... You know, and they will remember. But yeah, I can't take it. So I was like, oh, ha, ha, and they're laughing, and I'm just standing there going, this sucks so much. This sucks. You don't like anything. I like a lot of stuff, actually. Just not this simplistic shit. I just hate it. Like, I'm trying to think, like, The one I always go to is that Big Bang Theory.
Oh. Yeah.
I've never laughed at that show. Like, this is dumb. And
yeah, yeah, we've definitely been through that one where I'm just like, okay, like, I guess I don't think it's completely terrible, but it's also not, it should not be that popular. I'm like, okay, like, I get it, because I think I've said this before, one of my high school teachers is just like, oh, don't you get it? They're all smart jokes. And I'm just like, fuck off.
No, just like, not.
Yeah, I get that they're about is someone who's highly intelligent, but it's not funny, dude. Like, just get away from me. Like, yeah, I can understand what they're trying to go for. It doesn't make it funny.
Not at least, no. And it just, yeah, fluffy stuff like that is just terrible. And I'm trying to think, like, any... Yeah, I think I've always been that way. I don't know. Just the easy stuff is not fun.
So, oh, no.
Whatever. And I guess that's why they had Roman win. You know, it would be easy if Roman lost. Oh. So we'll see what happens on Friday. Even my AAA has been subpar, too. So...
Oh yeah, there has been nothing that's really, well, actually, WWE was consistently good until it wasn't. So,
I don't mean to say too much more about AEW, but
there just wasn't. Yeah, because Jay Lethal or Jay White getting there, I guess, is okay. They still have just so many names that are just aimless, honestly. You know, six person match, whatever. The random Jamie Hayter Riho match that happened for reasons, I suppose. Commander, that guy is just fucking bonkers. And he's gonna die at some point. I suppose there's the... I don't know why it took Matt Hardy so long to shove off from Ethan Page. Don't really care. Blackpool Combat Club. Man, there were a lot of short matches. That did not help matters at all.
No, but the long ones were good. So, it's like, all right.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's still, that main event was only 14 minutes.
Yeah. Well, really, FTR should have run those guys through, but whatever. You know. But yeah, no, it's just my enthusiasm now. Like, I haven't talked to Chris about going to Detroit for SummerSlam, and right now, I'm in a definite pause. Because I want to see what depth this goes to. Before I make that much of a commitment, you know, I can't go to SummerSlam and go, oh my God, I'm being tortured.
Well, I mentioned it to him. Glad I did not buy tickets to, not tomorrow, but the next SmackDown is here in Columbus. I did not buy tickets, and I'm like, you know what? That's fine. That, you know, now knowing that there is at least the real probability that Vince is involved again. Thanks, guys. Like, I'm not paying those live prices to go not enjoy myself somewhere. I would rather go out drinking or something and use the money more wisely.
Yeah.
So, speaking of drinking... Bell Time beer. Mine is, for a change, actually empty. Also, probably because it was only a 12-ounce beer instead of a 16-ounce beer.
Oh. What would you have?
Oh, West 6th Brewing, Penny Ryle Pale Ale. Easy drinking, nice and light. on my continued march to get rid of things in my fridge that are fairly old. This is from probably at least a year ago when I went on a trip to survey some Sam's Clubs down in Cincinnati. So, yeah, it's been in the fridge for a little while and or in the basement for a little while. Very good place to stop in there on the, what was that, the southeast side of Cincinnati there. Had not been to that neck of the woods in my prior trips to Cincinnati. So it was nice to stop at a couple of breweries, but that was the main one that I stopped into. Good beers, nice little neighborhood there. Definitely reminds me a bit, that part reminds me a bit of Pittsburgh because of the way the hills are there along with the river. So,
mine's just from a red clay cider, peach crumble, doing the same thing as you are. And that's why on Saturday, I opened up a 3-year-old bottle of, it's called Aloha Beaches. It's a wheat ale from Low Tide in Johns Island, outside of Charleston. Well, this was a wheat wine ale that was soaked in tequila barrels. That thing, and it's, the bottle was big, but it was only 16 ounces. It wasn't very big. It wasn't huge. It was just the bottle was. That thing knocked me on my ass. I fell asleep for Charlotte and Rhea. I had to go watch the next day. And I woke up during it, and it fell back asleep. So I thought when Charlotte did the whole flip and landed on her nose,
oh,
I thought she got pinned soon after. So color me surprised
when there's like 5 minutes before that.
There was like 10 minutes left. I'm like, what? And she was telling me, she's like, yeah, you just slowed down. I'm like, that thing just put me on my ass. So it was really good. Aloha Beach is a good wheat ale if you like it. Oh. Low Tide's awesome if you're ever down in the Charleston area. It's on the only brewery on Johns Island. So, apparently John's Island's the weird island. So,
always fun to go to the weird island.
Yes, yes.
So, okie dokie, that was the suggestion from at Granny Maze. I am at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.